catching a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy, Dale Lippin, in here. I'll be joined shortly by Trey Van Buskirk, as always. He is running slightly behind schedule. Punctuality is not a strong suit of either one of ours, but more so a character flaw for Trey, unlike any other. He's got everything else going for him. He just can't show up on time to anything. But such is dad life, such is husband life. He'll be here shortly. We're going to break down UFC Vegas 53, but I figure why not? I don't keep, there's a few of you that do tune into the live show. Far be it from me to keep you waiting. I'm not doing anything anyway. I'm just sitting here, just as you heard, just cracked a cold beer. Only other thing I do is maybe get on Instagram live and perhaps BS on there for a minute, waiting, doing the same thing that we're doing now. So I figure we might as well just get into it. So while we're waiting for him to do that, I want to remind you of two things. One, the show is brought to you by AllegianceClothing.com. Go to AllegianceClothing.com, use promo code PUNCH, and you can save 15% site-wide. Or you can go to StayClassyMeats.com and use promo code FIST and save 10% off site-wide. They pay the bills around here, at least for the show anyway. I mean, the light bill I pay, the internet bill I pay, but they pay for the other stuff. Those of you that won shirts on the last giveaway, those are going in the mail this week. We got them. Again, they're in Trey's hands. Thoughts and prayers to you. He has them. He has your addresses. He has the sizes. I've given him money to pay for shipping. What he does with it after that, I just, again, thoughts and prayers to your whole setup there. But UFC Vegas 53 kicks off this Saturday night. I suppose while we're waiting for him to hop in, one of the things that we could do is maybe just recap some of the things that have been going on in the MMA world. For those of you that tuned into our last show, you know I was on vacation for it. Was I on vacation for that one? I think I was. Maybe I was back. I can't remember. But I'm here now. This is my happy place, or a happy place of mine. Logan, did you get your shirt? Hold on. In the chat, Logan was one of the shirt winners. Did you get it? I'm just going to wait patiently. Bad radio here for a second while I wait for that to pop up to look ever so briefly. I want to make sure that you got it. If you didn't, that's okay. It'll be there soon enough. It'll be there soon enough. Let's see what event. Oh, no, I wasn't on vacation for this one. This was one that we just broke down. Yeah, this was on Andrade versus Lemos. Yeah. I wasn't on vacation for this, was I? I don't think I was. Doesn't matter. Jessica Andrade, first standing arm triangle finish in UFC history, which seems weird, which seems really weird. Let me just pump to get it. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I didn't anticipate that. I did not anticipate that being the first standing arm triangle. And immediately when I read that stat on the Twitterverse, I was like, I've got to prove this wrong, because I'm sure that this has happened somewhere else before inside the cage. And I don't think that was it. I believe that to be the only one. I couldn't think of another one, no matter how hard I tried. Okay, let's see what we got going on here. Are you ready to come in? You want me to put you in? Okay.
What's up, dude?
What's up, dude?
When I said go live, I meant go on Instagram. But I know. Of course, you're just like, just jump the gun on me, dude.
Here's what I did. Is I got in, I said hello, I cracked a beer, and I did the ad reads already.
You already cracked a beer?
I haven't sipped out of it yet, but it is cracked.
We do that together.
Well, hold on.
That's like a friendship thing.
Let me put the thing back on. Ready?
It's not the same.
You didn't hear mine crack? I literally just sealed it back up again.
all I heard was a sound of betrayal. That's all I heard.
Oh, my gosh. You know who you betrayed? You betrayed our listeners by not showing up on time.
Yeah, well, you know, fashionably late is sexy in 2022.
Maybe in California, but in South Carolina, we call that disrespectful.
Oh, look at you with your manners all high and mighty in South Carolina.
South Carolina. No, but what I was talking about right before you came in was that I was talking about the Lemos Andrade standing arm triangle. That was the first one in UFC history, and that feels like an incorrect stat, but it is correct.
It also feels like there should be a quitting portion to that stat.
A quitting portion? What do you mean?
Well, Amanda Lemos, like, did she really get choked out, or did she just kind of quit?
Bro, she got her head. I mean, what's the alternative? You get your neck snapped?
I don't know. I just feel like a female half the size of her gets her in an arm triangle. It'd be I don't know, man. I don't know. Bro. A little conspiracy theory possibly to start off the show?
No, I don't think that's the case. You are the resident Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. So an arm triangle.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of pressure can you generate off of that? I mean, it looked like her head was about to separate from her shoulder.
That's the thing that makes it a little bit of a conundrum is the fact that an arm triangle, the pressure that comes from it is the shoulder from side control. So the weight that you have pressing down on someone's throat is creating that blood pressure choke. So standing up, that seems really hard to do. I'm not discounting it. I'm just saying there's something I'm not in tune with.
I don't know, bro. Well, you also don't think guillotines are real chokes. So I guess I gotta.
That's true. That's true.
Okay. We'll run through these real quick. Claudio Pulisic knee-barred Clay Guida. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? He knee-barred him. Macy Barber beat the dog piss out of Montana De La Rosa.
What's up?
You gotta cut De La Rosa, right? You gotta cut her at this point.
Look at you, all high and mighty, thinking she's gonna beat what is the future, Now you have to cut her. Give me a break.
Okay, so you think we get to keep her around? Charles Jourdain, arm in, guillotine, subs Lando Venata.
It's pretty dope, and should have called the sub. That was smart.
Marc-Andre Barria just decimates Jordan Wright. Jordan Wright's got to go, right?
He's got to. Beverly Hill Ninja, yeah.
Beverly Hills Ninja's got to go. Cut. Okay. All right. Hondo came back. Sergey whatever. I can't pronounce the name. Beat your boy Dwight Grant, who you sat beside on the plane on the way there. But you knew that was coming.
That's what happens when the UFC puts you on a three-leg travel to get to the Apex Center from San Diego.
You know what's crazy about that is that we talked about – when we talked about the Sergey and Dwight play, you and I, we talked about – the fact that Sergey, you know, with his 34 wins, or I'm sorry, 34 total fights, 28 total wins now, like 21 of his 27 were by finish, right? Mm-hmm. And him by knockout was like anywhere between like plus 375 to like plus 500. Why didn't we play that?
Well, you texted me and you said, even from Dwight Grant's perspective, he has a relatively good portion of finishes. So why did we not play that? It's like
over 60. Well, we played inside the distance.
Right. But just playing one of them by finish would have been better.
Probably. If we could have got the double, like the TKO sub prop on Sergey, probably would have been the play there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hindsight, brother. Hindsight. All right. Tyson Pedro, Ike Villanueva. I got into it with a guy on Twitter saying that Ike was going to give Tyson problems because he hadn't fought in 4 years and that Ike was durable. Tyson goes out and breaks Ike's leg with a leg kick. I mean, literally just destroyed my man's knee and then just punched him like an old man sitting on a park bench. That was bad. That was a bad fight. I was on the wrong side of the assessment there, Tyson Pedro. I don't know if Tyson Pedro looked good, but he looked good enough to beat. He looked good enough to beat Ike Villanueva. That's for sure. I think Ike's got to go too. I think Ike's gone.
A lot of people getting cut on this card. Trimming the fat is that Apex card for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Arichi Lang beat up Cameron Elsey. I mean, we were all over Arichi Lang. Minus 200 seemed like a gift. We probably should. I feel like I said back up the truck for that one. Was that the one I said back up the truck for?
That sounds about right. Yeah,
there was one of these fights that I said back up the truck for. I'm hoping it was that one, even at minus 200. I'm hoping it was that one and it wasn't like Clay Guida. Preston Parsons, Evan Elder. Evan Elder probably did more to impress in a loss than our boy Preston Parsons did in a win. Do you think? Do you agree? Disagree?
I agree.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. He's that was like, okay. Philippe Lenz comes out, new haircut, new beard, and gets the win over Marcin Prakniaw. A lot of people had that fight going inside the distance, us included.
Yeah.
And it looked like it for a long time that was going to be the way that it shook out, and it did not.
No.
That got real sloppy in a hurry. Prakniaw's not good. Can we say that Prakniaw's not good?
Yeah, but he kind of has that, not Caucasus Mountain Warrior, but he has that like Polish power name, which...
Yeah, he's Polish. He's Polish, but
which
he's
not
good.
Which kind of garners respect. There's a little bit of respect with that last name.
Maybe. I don't know.
Great example. We'll be talking about it later, but Figueiredo, you get this respect right off the bat, but it doesn't technically mean respect. You know what I mean?
Did you call him Figueiredo?
Figueiredo. Yeah. Like figure like, your 8-0, like, dude. Hawaii 5-0.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like a figure eight. Like figure eight. Like a figure 8-0.
I don't know why I started to have flashbacks of Stussy. Remember Stussy?
Is that a brand? That's a brand, isn't it?
Yeah, but remember it was the S that everyone would draw in like high school with like three lines and the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Stussy.
I thought they had the sloppy S with the thing and like the U with the umlaut.
It was very, I don't know what the umlaut is. That sounds hot. I'm not sure what that is, but the Stussy was more, it looked kind of like a gang symbol, but it wasn't a gang symbol.
An umlaut is like the double, it's like the colon on top of a U or an O in German.
Oh, yeah.
It's called an umlaut.
Oh, well, you learn something every day.
Well, how about Mike Jackson versus Dean Barry? Did we learn anything watching that fight?
They both suck.
Did you see the eye poke?
Intentional.
You think? Like, I don't think it was intentional. You think Mike Jackson sold that eye poke a little bit? I mean, yes, it looked bad. I mean, it was like in the gristle, right?
Yeah.
But the moment the fight was stopped, it was like he could see again.
No, for sure. For sure.
I've been poked in the eye before and it is misery. So, It caps off to any fighter that can continue after that.
Another fantastic, gosh, I feel like you're segueing perfectly into this card because when we talk about eye pokes, we're going to get into Andre Fili looking fucking fantastic and the whole Daniel Pineda selling an eye poke. It felt a little bit like Daniel Pineda right there.
Okay, before we jump into this card, we need to let everybody know this is back-to-back weeks with a lot of alpha male people. So everything that comes out of Trey's mouth, you have got to just run it through the alpha male filter. Everything's got to go the lock. Alpha male filter. Lock. No, it's not. It's not what that means. It's not what that means at all.
That's what it said to Macy. Say that again.
Okay. All right. Real quick before we do anything else, breaking down this fight, I'm on the microphone this weekend for Ram FC. So I'm excited about that. It's my first time. So I've done commentary before, but this is my first time like filling the shoes of, say, a Bruce Buffer of sorts. I'm doing the actual announcing.
Oh, in cage.
Yes.
In the blue corner, in the red corner.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you then. So obviously, you know, you have the let's get it on. It's time. Let's get ready to rumble. What is your line,
dude? I don't know. That's the thing. That's why I'm bringing this up, because I'm putting it out there to the listeners. I need help with this.
Oh.
I need help because I am stuck.
I think you go super off color with it to the point where they don't know. They're just, you know, you just yell out like "fuck a duck" or something like that. You know what I mean? Like something random.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, I don't want to shortchange all the work I've done throughout the night with that. One of the suggestions that I have received so far, which I hate how much I like, and I just can't figure out a way to work it in, is "let her rip, tater chip."
No, dude, you can't do that.
I know you can't.
So carny, weird shit.
You literally just told me to. You're talking about fornicating with ducks. You live, that was your first suggestion. And you're telling me I can't do let her rip tater chip. I feel like
belittles the fighter, dude.
If you do like a red corner, blue corner, and then it's a let her rip tater chip, dude, that's, I don't know.
Red corner, blue corner, fucking murder each other. Let's go.
You could do that. But see, here's the thing, right? Is this where let her rip tater chip falls short? Is let her rip tater chip is like something that like Big John McCarthy would say, or like a referee would say, like when they fight, are you ready? Fighter, are you ready? Let her rip tater chip. That would be the referee thing. It's not something that Bruce Buffer would say. It's not something that in the announcing segue that you would say. You wouldn't say let her rip tater chip right there. You know, like if you were to take where Bruce or Michael say, you know, let's get ready to rumble or it's time, you can't do a let her rip tater chip. Like it doesn't fit.
You're right. Know what I mean? Well, cause he says we are live. That's what he says. So you need to have something that's a precursor to the fight. Like what is that line?
You need that. And then you need the, it's time. You need the intro. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you need your actual line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Joe Martinez. All right, fight fans. We've got, you know, like that's his.
I like him, dude. I think he's great. Martinez
too. Yeah. He's an underrated gem.
He is. He's not a diamond in the rough because he's not in the rough, but he's a diamond.
Yeah. I like when they use Joe Martinez. I like Joe Martinez a lot because whenever he gets a Spanish fighter.
Yeah.
Or anybody that's South American. Oh, bro, he gets all into it. Erexo, grosso. Like he gets in it, bro.
That's hardcore because I feel like that's a little bit racist.
His last name is Martinez.
That's
fair.
He can
do whatever he wants to do.
He can do whatever he wants. That's right.
Right.
My B.
Yeah. If you were in there announcing Jan Blachowicz, you could get as much phlegm in it as you wanted. Nobody would say
anything.
Because
the Dutchness. Yes.
He's Polish. You tried to get me there, and I know you know better than that. I know you know better.
Same difference.
All right, so here's the Dutch and the Polish are not the same. You're not getting me with this. Stop messing with me. All right, so I need a line. I need segues. I need lines.
Yeah. We'll put a poll out. Maybe a couple. Oh, well, first we'll put a question out. See what field some answers.
We'll field some answers, and then we'll pull it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll feel it, and then you'll pull it.
Last question I want to ask you about this though, real quick. You know, let's talk about fashion for a quick second. Joe Rogan's always black pants, black button down.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bruce Buffer is the pinnacle of what it is to have pure fashion. What are you wearing?
I'm probably gonna Rogan it, to be honest with you.
Black button down, black pants.
Probably, yeah.
That's good.
I don't have a smoking jacket, right? I've got like the boardroom casual blue blazer that everybody wears.
Yeah.
Right. But it's I don't want to sell you life insurance. I want to announce the fight. You know what
dude,
I mean?
Dude, no. Come in there with a pair of Sperry's, dude. Close the deal.
Listen, you know what's really funny? Is the first time I did commentary for them, I wore Sperry's and a mint green Lacoste polo.
Brother, like, yeah, after this fight, I'm going to go back to Sigma Chi here, paddle the fuck out of some kids.
I don't know if you know this or not, but that's pretty much the default Charleston look is some sort of pastel color in Sperry's. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and the whale belts with the little whales on it.
Oh, bro. Don't even get me started.
Vineyard Vines, dude?
Yeah,
Vineyard Vines?
Yeah. That's exactly it. I don't wear that, but yes, that's exactly it.
That screams, let's go party on daddy's yacht, dude.
100%. That's 100%. Do you know who my dad is? That's absolutely it.
Which is here, that's power like move. It's power move.
Here, that's like old plantation money is what that is. That's all that is. That's all that old French colonialism, Southern plantation money is what that is.
This is why I have to do this with you, because if you came rocking all that, I'll come in like, I'll find some like old like Von Dutch shit.
I need you to
really just like turn some heads, dude.
This is what I want more than anything else. I keep telling you to come out here to this. The weigh-ins are on Friday night at the Honky Tonk Saloon at 5 o'clock. Dope. That's a real place. It's a real place. It's called the Honky Tonk Saloon. The weigh-ins are there. And then Saturday, It'll be available on pay-per-view. We'll post the link so you guys can tune in. And yeah, I mean, it's going to, there's a concert midway through. There's like an intermission where there's a concert. The last event, Bubba Sparks performed at the last one, which was great. And then Matt Hughes, Diego Sanchez will be there. Dude, I'm telling you, there is something about these events. I have so much fun. I really do. I have so much fun. You get to meet so many cool people. One of the dudes that just fought on that XMMA was actually the lighting guy for the last event I did with them. He literally was the lighting guy. And then I'm watching him on pay-per-view. He's fought two fights before John Dodson and Francisco Rivera. I'm like, I know that guy. He literally did the lighting and the mics for the last commentary thing. Like, I love regional MMA, man. I freaking love it. I love it. The headliner for this event, Tim Goodwin, who's a longtime MMA vet in multiple organizations, including the UFC, is one of the head coaches. So there's a lot of talent in South Carolina. And I mean, I've told you this before, that the regional scene throughout the Southeast is very competitive, man. And these guys are coming to fight. So it's so much fun. It's a completely different feel than like an act, like a main, like a big card. There's a lot more bloodlust in a regional event. Like, and you know what's crazy about it too? I'll say this last thing I'm gonna say about it, because we'll get into it. We're almost 30 minutes in. Is that with regional events, what makes them so much fun is that everybody's family comes too. Everybody's friends and family are there. Like everybody. So like when somebody wins and they came with a posse, the place freaking erupts.
Yeah.
Which makes it super fun. Fun, man. I'm super thankful for Justin and Jerry, the guys at Ram FC. You know, they don't know me and they don't owe me anything, a hole in the ground. And they've been super supportive of our show and give us the opportunity to go out there and do our thing and learn on the job. So I have all the respect and appreciate them immensely. Same thing with Jared over at Conflict MMA. These regional guys, they appreciate us and they support us. So, you know, I'm happy to do the same thing. And you'll get 110% of me on Saturday night, which, you know, I'm going to blow my damn vocal cords out. There's 12 fights on the card. I got to pace myself, because you know me, I'll go that first one, bro. Boom!
Curtain jerker on the prelims. Just give it all, dude.
Oh, bro, I'm going to do the Bruce Buffer 360 hop.
No, you're not athletic enough to do that. That's ridiculous, dude.
Kidding me?
Bro, he almost rips Achilles every time he does that.
How dare you say I'm not athletic enough to do that? Are you joking me?
That takes years of experience. I don't want you to hurt yourself.
Unbelievable. Let's break down these fights before you and I get into a fight.
All right.
I can't believe you said that to me.
I look out for your best interest.
You're such a jerk.
And we will never fight, because it would never be fair. It's kind of like Francis Ngannou and Tyson Fury. Like, I would pull guard, you would box me and murder me. So I have to sit on my knees.
This is what we do. If we do this, if we ever do this, we'll have to do like a Rod Tang DJ special rules, where it's like a 2 minute one round and then a 2 minute another round kind of deal. Like different rules.
It'd be stupid. It'd be a coin flip. It'd be like the NFL. Whoever gets the coin flip ends up winning the game. If it coin flipped and they said boxing, I would die. I tell her straight up, like, anytime there's someone that's picking on you in a fight, if he doesn't want to like start on the knees, we're fucked.
Yeah. I'm just saying, all you have to do is kind of put your hands out and wrap me up. You'll be fine. You'll be okay. All right. First fight on the main card. Is it Darren Elkins, Tristan Connolly? I believe it is.
That sounds about right.
Cool. Darren Elkins at 26-10. Tristan Connolly at 14-7. Full disclosure, producer Jake is not here tonight, so it's just us.
Oh, things are about to get choppy.
Yeah. See, Marvin says Surf Boy with a sub minus 350. I agree with Marvin. I agree.
Minus 350?
Here's the thing. Minus 350, he's rating you at the sub. And two, Marvin's in here all the time. He always calls you Surf Boy. So I just want to acknowledge the consistency of calling you Surf Boy.
Yeah, I don't think that would be my nickname, but it's starting to catch on. So thank you, Marvin.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Tristan Connolly's coming back to featherweight. He's older than us. He's going to cut weight back down to featherweight. He's a plus 140 against Darren Elkins, minus 170. Over-under on rounds is at 2.5. I made you sign a waiver saying that you wouldn't bet all Team Alpha Male guys this time.
Yes.
Is this one of the Team Alpha Male guys that you're going to take, Darren Elkins?
I think we have to here. I think okay. we have to here. 2.5 is set appropriately. Darren Elkins, perfect name, obviously the damage. He is someone who comes out the gate slow. But he's someone that is like, we talk about Paul Walker all the time. Someone that moves.
You talk about Paul Walker all the time.
He's a fantastic actor. Greatest actor of our generation outside of Ben Affleck.
Not a good driver. Go ahead.
Oh, that's dark. That's dark. Well, man, that's super dark. Okay. Shifting gears here. Pun intended. Dude, Darren's someone who starts off in gear 1 and 2 in the first and second round. But as it gets into the third round, he fucking locks that thing the fifth. And he starts to do an onslaught. His cardio gets better. He feels himself. His wrestling gets more aggressive. He's better in those later rounds, but he's a very slow starter. The problem is, how long is someone going to let his fights go? He takes so much damage. He's got the scar tissue of Nate Diaz. He will be bleeding everywhere. What type of ref are we going to get to allow him to get to those later rounds to capitalize on this fight? When you look at Tristan Connolly, he's someone that pause, and then tries to throw something really big. The fluke of all flukes, and there's another fluke of all flukes we're going to get into, which is going to piss you off, but I'm going to talk about it later. Fluke of all flukes was him beating Michelle Pereira. Michelle Pereira came into that fight, and he overlooked his competition. He was a deer in headlights and just said, oh, I'm going to do my acrobatic shit. And he never actually got focused on the fight. Because tit for tat, Michelle Pereira should have beat the crap out of Tristan Connolly. Since that fight, Tristan Connolly has been an absolute...
He's only fought one time. He fought Pat Sabatini. That's it.
Pat Sabatini is such a stud in his wrestling. That makes it really tough. But Darren Elkins has fought the better quality of competition. His wrestling's unparalleled. And then also he can take a ton of damage. It's just, I'm worried that Tristan Connolly is going to pepper him too much. He's going to get too bloody and the fight's going to get stopped. But if this goes in the later rounds, you have to go Darren Elkins, whether it's by decision, sprinkle 2 and 3, Darren Elkins for sure. Minus 170 is a great price.
If you're on Tristan Connolly, I would take him by sub. Tristan Connolly, if I'm not mistaken, is one of the head coaches at Checkmat out of Vancouver. And I believe he is their Jits coach as well. And if you look at his record, he has 9 career finishes by submission, right? How many wins does he have as a professional? 13, 12, 4. He's got 14, 9 of which have come by sub. I would take Tristan Connolly by sub if you're on the Connolly side, and you can get Connolly by sub at plus 700.
That is hot.
So if you're talking huge plus money play, Tristan Connolly by sub, if he's going to win the fight, that's the way to do it. I don't see him busting up Darren Elkins. I agree with your assessment that Darren Elkins is mostly scar tissue. I agree that he gets better as the fight goes on. I would be interested to see what Darren Elkins' level of engagement will be on the hands coming off the devastating shit pumping that he got from the one and only UFC Hall of Famer Cub Swanson his last time out.
That's what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
So will he be willing to engage in that same kind of fight? Because prior to that, too, you got to think about the war he had with Nate Landwehr. The damage is the damage. We understand that. But he's also 36, 37 years old. At a certain point, you can't keep wrecking the truck. It's going to stop driving. Tristan Connolly's not that guy. He's not fast enough. He's not strong enough. He's not powerful enough to be the guy that wrecks the Darren Elkins truck. But I don't necessarily know that Darren Elkins will be as willing to walk into the wood chipper as he normally is. And if he does so, shoots a sloppy takedown. Tristan Connolly's got quite a few finishes by armbar, quite a few finishes by rear naked. All stuff that comes from just positional control, man, which you know. Tristan Connolly plus 700 by sub or Darren Elkins at a decent play money line, I think you can hedge your way out here.
I think that's what I was thinking about, because it gave me like an ode to, and actually we'll be talking about him here, Gerald Mershark, when he fought Khamzat Chimaev. The Gerald Mershark that fought Khamzat Chimaev were deer in headlights. The Darren Elkins that fought Cub Swanson was deer in headlights, because Cub Swanson is not that good to get it done that quickly.
So you literally, you just tried to make up a whole scenario just so you could try to say that Cub's not good. You do understand, like, you do understand that when Cub and Uriah fight, right?
Oh, Uriah is going to be a minus 400.
When Cub and Uriah fight, the wager will be, if Cub wins, you have to get a SoCal belly rocker tattoo.
The palm trees or just SoCal?
Either or. You can do the palm trees up from the pubic bone, or you can do the SoCal.
That's fine. I have so much chest hair, you wouldn't be able to see it anyways.
Not that down there. You got that much hair down there?
Oh yeah, I'm a Yeti.
Okay, so you're like wearing shorts year round.
Yeah. Well, when we lost our Manscaped sponsorship, things got weird.
I don't say we lost. Well, maybe we did lose it. I don't know. It was weird. Speaking of sponsorships we don't have, what's up with your people at Cutwater? Are you drinking Cutwater tonight?
Yeah, I am. I refuse to give up. I'm not a quitter.
What's up with Emily? You know what I'm going to do? We're creating it. I'm clipping this.
Okay. Starting now.
Emily.
Go.
Yeah, Emily. We need to talk. Nobody's out there grinding for you like the boys. Nobody. Yeah,
no one's getting as how drunk many as people. It's impossible.
How many people have we led to Cutwater?
Stupid amounts.
You realize that if we lead more people to Cutwater than like Joel Osteen leads to the Lord. Like if we are essentially better than Joel Osteen.
Right. We're doing God's work here.
We are literally the Osteens of ready-made cocktail in a can. That's us.
Right.
Yeah. Except we're not full of crap like he is.
No, we're full of Cutwater.
We're full of Cutwater. It writes itself. They just came out with the pineapple margarita. It should be the punchless pineapple margarita. I'm just saying.
Rings a little better.
Yeah.
Rings a little better.
It does ring a little bit better. Make another one. The next one should be punchless punch. Punchless knockout punch.
The punchless Paloma.
The punchless Paloma. That's even better.
It writes itself.
It writes itself. It's unbelievable. Ridiculous. It's unbelievable. Right. Eric says, I never even heard of Cutwater until you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Says, bet there's many other like, but now you know. And if you drink it, you'll be a convert.
Yeah.
God. They changed the game. Doing the pords work. All right, here we go. Next fight on the main card is Jared Gordon versus Grant Dawson. Jared Gordon at 18-4, taking on Grant Dawson at 17-1-1. I'm glad Eric's in here, because he put a tweet up the other day, and I know you'll relate to this because I think this was actually you. I want to give credit where he was saying he has a hard time between telling the difference between Jared Gordon and Jared Gooden.
Yeah.
How do you tell the difference between Jared Gordon and Jared Gooden?
It's actually gotten pretty easy, because Jared has a great nickname, Jared Flash Gordon. But
okay,
when I, you know, how, what are those things called where you assimilate a different name? What's it? Whatever that's called. Mm-hmm. I assimilate Jared Flash Gordon with, it should really be Jared Newsflash, I fucking suck, Gordon. That's what it should be. And that makes me think, oh, that's the Jared Gordon. He's the one that's not good. Newsflash, he sucks. That's how I get there.
See, I thought it was different than that. What I told Eric, how I remember it, is that Jared Gooden is, his nickname is Night Train. He's also the darker complected of the two. So Jared Gooden, Night, Dark, boom. That's how I remember it.
You can't say that in 2022. You cannot. Why? Do that. You can't do that.
Why?
No, you can't do it. Night and then dark people?
He literally calls himself Night Train.
Yeah, because like he's on a train at night, which is scary.
He spells
Have you ever been on a train at night?
No, he spells it N-I-T-E.
like night night.
No, that would be N-I-G-H-T. I'm just saying. That's how I remember it. It's better than newsflash. What is that? What are you, like a 1920s reporter? Newsflash here. Jared Gordon gets the win.
Reminds me. He's not
knocked
good,
out dude. Jack Dempsey in the third round. You should have seen it. Wanamaker Park went crazy.
Dude, Jared Gooden. Now you got me saying Gooden. God damn it. Jared Gordon is awful. He's so bad. He has this grapple heavy attack where he shoots in, and if he doesn't get it, he lands on the back of his heels and accepts a takedown of himself. He has horrible takedown defense, but he's a grapple heavy attack. If you are a grappler, you need to have good takedown defense, because if things don't fall where they may, you're going to end up on your back, which he normally does. And he doesn't have a very good jiu-jitsu game. Grant Dawson also has more of a grappling wrestling attack, but he's going to be a little bit more physical. His striking is exponentially better than Jared Gordon. He's going to be stronger, and he's probably going to be a little bit more of the control fighter. So you're looking at two guys that have wrestling foundation. I'm going to go with the guy who has better top pressure and has the slight edge from striking, who's been able to paw out, shoot for a double, and then get control. So this is like a no-brainer. The plus 140, if you want Jared Gordon, wait, because the money should come in on Dawson.
Interesting. Jared Gordon's like a New Jersey, like white Bilal Muhammad. And I think they're good friends too, which makes sense because they fight very similar. It's a grapple heavy, but they somehow found a way to make grappling boring, which I love wrestlers, and they somehow find a way to bore me.
Right.
Jared Gordon has a massive head. Looks like he wears custom size hats. And then they will also mention several times about how he's a recovering addict, which congrats on your sobriety. I do think that this line is probably a little closer than it should be. Grant Dawson, I think, should be a little bit heavier of a favorite, not by much. So I'm not mad at the minus 170. My concern is, as the fight goes on, what does Grant Dawson's cardio look like? How does it hold up if he's ineffective at stopping the takedowns of Jared Gordon? If Jared Gordon does get takedowns, he is very good at using, he's big head, big shoulders, big upper body, good at moving his weight around in the scrambles. His striking is not good, and maybe Dawson's is a little bit better, but I think those points kind of cancel each other out. Dawson still with Krause, or did he leave?
I think he left.
Did he? I don't know if he did or not. I feel like that was like Krause was his boy, but I feel like he was also kind of.
I feel like he went to ATT or something weird.
Tapology still has him listed at Glory, so we'll go with Glory for the sake of this. But I'm going to go Dawson here. I don't love this spot. I'm picking him for the sake of the show, but I'm not. I don't love him in the spot.
Okay.
Because this is a fight that Jared Gordon could win, which seems weird, but. There are ways, like I said, with the pressure, with the takedowns, with just basically mat control, that I think that he could possibly shut Grant Dawson down. He's not going to like starch him. He's not going to submit him, but he could Bilal Muhammad him for 15 minutes where he just takes him down, holds him down, lands punches that don't have a prayer at doing anything other than keeping the ref off of you. But that's about it. So
it sounds highly entertaining, Dale.
I'm sure this one will be, they'll be really happy they put it on the main card. All right, Andre Feely at 21-8, taking on Yo Anderson Brito. Brito at 12-3-1. Featherweight bout here, Trey. Brito is at the plus 200 spot. Feely at the minus 260. Over-under rounds is at 2.5 here. I think you and I are both agreement this one will see the judges. But it's just going to be a matter of how this one shakes out. I've seen quite a few people in the MMA sphere saying this one has split decision written all over it. What do you think?
Yeah, I see that actually. It's unfortunate because Feely looked fantastic. I said this at the beginning of the show, fantastic against Daniel Pineda. Before Pineda said, fuck, I'm getting my ass handed to me. I'm going to fake this eye poke. Feelies look great. The problem is this is the epitome in Brito of a Brazilian freaking nightmare on the ground. This is a guy that's great in the clinch. He's fantastic in top control. And if he circles to your back, he's really strong. So I'm worried about Feely, who has great length and reach and is going to be way better, I believe, from a striking perspective. But Feely, I don't want to say he has bad takedown. He's got decent takedown defense. But if it goes to the ground, you have to give the weight to the Brazilian here. And there's a large opportunity at plus 200 to make some moves there. So I'm a little bit worried for Andre here. I told you earlier, if I had to lay weight in the alpha males on this card, I was going to go with Darren Elkins and I was going to fade Andre Feely. I'm still going to do that today, even though my heart wants to take Feely. Brito is no slouch. On the regional scene, he was fantastic. Feely is not the most well-rounded fighter. He's a work in progress. He looked fantastic for one round, but again, we only got one round in his last fight. I'm going to take Brito here. And if you take Feely, I'm going to be super pissed because I would love to go all team alpha male.
No, I don't think I'm going to go Feely, but this is how I think this fight plays out. I think Brito has a dominant round one, yes. Whether it's through takedown or whether it's through the hands, whether he stings Andre before Feely can get into his little Feely flow state, like we like to talk about. If that's the case, I think Brito takes round one in exciting fashion. Then I think round, possibly he could threaten the sub. I think round two becomes a little bit of a toss up with Brito getting tired. Fight IQ, energy management, not his strong suit. Right. And then round three becomes survival. Andre Feely trying to pour it on to get him out of there. And then we go to the judges' scorecards and things get real dicey. Get some Derek Cleary, some Tony Weeks in there, some Sal D'Amato weird shit. There's all kinds of weirdness that's going to happen. The other thing too is that you gotta account for that Chris Tognoni might be the ref for this fight. And if that's the case, right, because they're not going to give Chris the co-main and they're not going to give him the main. So we have a chance, depending on the rotation, that this could be Chris Tognoni's last fight of the night. And if that's the case, heaven help us.
Brutal. Yeah. Brutal.
I'm on Brito for the value at plus 200 in the sense that I think he's a dog that has fight in him. And I just cannot put minus 260 money on Andre Feely. I'm trying to think of who I've seen Andre Feely fight that I would be comfortable putting that price on him. Like, even maybe Lobov, maybe the Artem Lobov fight is the last fight of his that I would have felt confident at like a minus 260.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see anybody that he's fought. Pineda, Bryce Mitchell, Charles Jourdain, Sadiq Youssef, Shaman Moraes, Miles Jury, MJ, Dennis Bermudez, a murderer's row, Yair Rodriguez, Gabriel Benitez. I mean, he's fought just absolute killers. None of those I'm putting him at a minus 260, and I can't do it now. I can't. No, there's no way.
So do we take Brito just at money line plus 200, or we juice that to the gills via sub?
No, I'm just taking him. I would take him at the plus 200. It's 2-1 on your money. There's no point. I can't do it. I can't put minus 260 on Feely. There's just no way. He's not shown himself. He's also been win one, lose one for a while now too, which I hate.
That's true.
And he's due for the, you know, he's due for the loss, even though he lost to Bryce Mitchell. The Pineda fight doesn't count. All right. Anyway,
who do you hate more, Chris Tognoni or Mario Yamasaki?
Tognoni for sure.
Wow.
Without reservation. Because Yamasaki will let a fighter get killed. He will let him fight it out. Where Tognoni can't help but interject himself. He can't help but talk to everybody like he's like some kind old grandpa, like he's your buddy from the from down the street. Hey, Andre. No. You got to be in control of your weapons, okay? You got to be in control. Wait. Hold on a second. Yo, Anderson, stay over there. Yo. Over here, no coaching. Yo. Stay over there. Yeah. Yeah. Andre, in control of your weapons, okay? In control. Okay? Tognoni, All right. Spaghetti, mozzarella. Ready? Fight. I can't with him.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
I don't like him. Yeah. I don't like him at all. You're not my friend. Don't talk to me like you're reading me a bedtime story.
All right.
Not my speed.
Yeah.
Also, just stay out of the way. His footwork's terrible. He's constantly in the way.
Oh, he's old.
Herb Dean's in the way a lot too, but damn it, he's in the way. All right. Jake Collier at 13-6. Andre Arlovsky at 33-20. We're taking Arlovsky. You can't tell me anything otherwise.
I'm not going to tell you anything otherwise, but I do want to pose a little conspiracy your way, actually. I've been thinking about this one a lot today.
All right.
And please do not interrupt me until I finish this.
I'll go on mute.
You might get a little heated. You on mute.
I'm going on mute. Ready?
Thank you. He's on mute. What was that? Like two... It was about a month ago. I'm a big Foo Fighters fan. Big Foo Fighters fan. Love Dave Grohl. And Dale came at me and said that Dave Grohl sold his soul to the devil. And that the former drummer, Taylor Hawkins, was almost like a sacrificial lamb to keep his youthfulness as well as his popularity going. And people are saying, well, why are we talking about Foo Fighters right now when we're talking about Andre Arlovsky and Jake Collier? Well, let me tell you this. Andre Arlovsky is about 120 years old. There is no way with the amount of damage that Pitbull has taken, as well as his age and who he has been fighting, that he should still be on the UFC roster. He is fantastic. He is continuously, he has evolved. He's been a better fighter, I would say, as in his later part of his career. With that said, Dale, has he pulled a Dave Grohl? Did he sell his soul to the devil? Unmute.
Absolutely not. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, absolutely not. He is. You don't play basketball, so this is a tough reference for you.
Oh, balls life. Here we go.
No, I'm just trying. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of a better way to put this. But
I know basketball people, dude.
Okay, I have to use a basketball reference here. Okay. One of the more frustrating things in the world is when you go to a gym and you play against an old head, you play against an OG, because the OG isn't as fast, isn't explosive, isn't one of those, it isn't what made them probably good at basketball, or we'll use golf even because you've recently started golfing.
Yeah.
You go golfing with an old guy. Do they crush the ball 380 yards like Brooks Koepka? No. They hit it 120 yards straight as an arrow every single time. And they play par golf because they hit the ball 120 to 170 every time. They have evolved their game to get it done as efficiently and without frills as possible. When Andre Arlovsky fought Tom Aspinall, the moment that fight wasn't going his way, what'd he say? I'm out, bro. I don't need this in my life. I don't need this. He was like, I'm done. We're just the next one. Cool. Yeah. I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Cowboy Cerrone, same thing. Fights don't go Cowboy's way anymore. He's like, I'm done. They just don't have that desire to get in the dogfight anymore. But what they become very good at is roping you into playing their game. Mm-hmm. Andre Arlovsky will take a highly explosive knockout puncher and have them jabbing at range, because they just can't figure out how to dance with him, because he just does old wily veteran stuff. And the moment you get close, he wraps you up. He digs that underhook, or he'll get the overhook. He'll spin you against the cage. Then he'll push back away again. And then he pumps that jab out, throws the inside leg kick. You get close, he wraps your ass up again. That's it. It's literally 120 yards straight down the fairway. It's bank shots from the wing. That's how Andre Arlovsky wins fights. And you know what? Fat Jake Collier ain't gonna do anything about it.
I know. He's so fat. He has so much volume. Listen, but it's not gonna happen.
One of my favorite fighters on the roster now is Fat Jake Collier. I truly enjoy him from a performance perspective, but Andre Arlovsky has forgotten more about fighting than Jake Collier knows. And Andre Arlovsky will go out there at a minus 145. And as long as he avoids that overhand right of Jake Collier, which there's no reason to believe that he won't, there's nothing that Jake Collier is going to bring to the table that Andre Arlovsky has not seen and cannot easily navigate away from. And it is my humble opinion that we are going to watch this, and it is going to just be the most ruthlessly boring co-main event possible. Mm. But Andre Arlovsky is going to look like he should have been a minus 300 favorite here.
That was so perfect. Sometimes you don't have to sell your soul to the devil. You just got to know what you're good at.
That's it, bro. That's it. That's it. All right. Main event of the evening. Rob Font, Chito Vera. Rob Font, 19-5. Marlon Chito Vera at 27-1. 20 wins, 7 losses. 1 no contest. Anyway. Font's a minus 135 favorite here over Chito, plus 105. I'll let you go first here, but I want to preface it with this. This line is wrong. Oh. Rob Font should be a much larger favorite. Mm. And there is recency bias based on the Jose Aldo fights for both of these gentlemen. Mm. The Aldo fights are what's determining this line, and it is wrong.
That's super fair. Yeah, people forget Rob Font. Both these people have fantastic boxing. Mm. We always say that Chito Vera is a grasshopper. He's all legs. Mm. He utilizes those legs to do those leg kicks, create distance, you know, dictate the space. Mm. Rob Font, his boxing, though, I think is so technically above where Chito Vera is because his best friend and friend of the Punchless show, Calvin Kattar, is his main training partner. The New England Cartel have a thing going. Rob Font has been fighting the cream of the crop as it relates to that division's premier athletes. So is Chito Vera to an extent. But if Rob Font can slip on the inside, Chito Vera is someone that if he cannot dictate space from the beginning, he gets overwhelmed. And when he gets overwhelmed, he doesn't have much activity. He's also an extremely slow starter. Rob Font is not. So I think Rob Font from the onset is not only going to dictate the pace, but he's going to dictate the space. That is through and through what's going to happen. So I think Rob Font, to your point, minus 135 is a fantastic price. I love Chito Vera. I love Jason Parrillo. I love the Ruka team, but this is Rob Font's nights for sure.
I think one of the interesting things to look at is we're not in the big cage. So I think Chito presents more of an issue on the ground than Rob Font does. So that's something to consider, right? Is that Chito does have a ground game. Is it great? No, but it's there. And he can get a win by submission. I don't think we're worried about Rob Font submitting anybody. Like if you're Chito, I don't think you're worried about Rob Font submitting you. What I think you're worried about is getting jabbed to death for 25 minutes. You can make the argument that Chito gets stronger as the fight goes on, but I would make the same argument that maybe not so much that Rob Font gets better as the fight goes on, but he's able to keep the same pace for 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, when I think of Rob Font, I think of like a 5-hour energy drink. And let me ask you this. Have you ever had a 5-hour energy?
Yeah.
Okay. When you drink a 5-hour energy, you drink the whole thing, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. So when you drink a 5-hour energy, does it give you 5 hours of energy or does it give you your current energy level for 5 more hours?
This sounds like a math problem, Dale.
No, I'm just asking because I can't figure it out because I drink a 5-hour energy and I don't feel like it charges me up, like gives me 5 hours worth of energy. I feel like it just keeps me from getting tired for 5 hours.
That's a horrible question to ask me because I'm huge into placebos.
Right.
So the moment I rip one of those, I'm on cocaine.
Gotcha. So you feel like it gives you 5 hours of energy.
Right away.
Right off the rip.
I dip my tongue in it. I'm on butterfly.
Okay.
Hummingbird.
Interesting. I think that Cheeto's got the better strength of schedule. I think he's fought the better competition. I think that Rob Font and New England Cartel aside, I think that Rob Font at this present moment is a better fighter. I don't particularly feel that Chito was faring well in the Frankie Edgar fight before the freaking face kick. The first two rounds of that Frankie fight, we'd have to look at verdict, but I would venture to guess they had to be pretty close. Admittedly, I didn't go back and watch it. As much as I dislike Frankie Edgar, I didn't like seeing him get kicked in the face like that. But I remember watching that live and thinking Frankie's doing rather well. Now the commentary team was talking about Chito Vera as if he was in, you know, just doing whatever he wanted with Frankie. But I don't remember the fight going that way. But then obviously in round three, everything changed for Chito.
I want to get your thoughts here. So Chris in the chat here said O'Malley has better striking than Font, and we saw how that went with Vera.
I think O'Malley's has more creative striking than Font. He's more dynamic, which I guess depending on how you grade things would say that he's better. It's kind of sort of subjective as to how what you think is qualify somebody as being better. I don't all the way disagree with that. But then you also have to take the injury into account in the Chito fight. A check leg kick, and then things got dicey. Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with that. It just depends on how you're scoring fighters, you know, right, as far as what's better striking.
Good comment though. I like that.
Yeah. Like that. O'Malley's definitely the more creative striker. You can't argue that. There's no Rob Font's going to do the same jab.
Yeah.
Jab, jab. Like it's the same. And I love how he does like the open hand thing too. He's always like, I love the open hands.
Dude, it's like, it's that Boston way. It's like you're holding two Dunkin' Donuts and you're like, I don't want to spill this shit. I don't want to spill this shit.
It's not even, they drop the donuts. It's just Dunkin's now.
It's just Dunkin'?
It's just Dunkin'. They drop the donuts.
That's sad.
Not only did they drop the donuts, they don't even make the donuts fresh anymore.
You shut your mouth.
I'm serious. They don't.
You're telling me I can't get a donut. Tell me they make midgets or whatever they're called.
Oh, they definitely don't call them midgets anymore. They're donut holes.
No, they call them something. They
munchkins.
Call them like munchkins.
Yeah, not midgets. Yeah, let me get a box of chocolate midgets. They'd be like,
I want 12 midgets.
We're gonna arrest this guy. Yeah.
Can't do that. This isn't a Wayfair.
This isn't a Wayfair catalog, sir. You can't just come through here and order $13,000 cabinet that's conveniently named after a missing kid. It's not how this works. You can't just come in here and order a box of Rebecca's for 13 grand. Hey, that's too weird of a coincidence, right or wrong? People that didn't see our post are like, I have no idea what these guys are talking about. All I'm going to say is look into it.
No, don't look into it. Just look into shut it. Shut up. No.
Wayfair traffics kids, allegedly. No,
God damn it.
I said allegedly. If you say allegedly or with all due respect, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I said with all due respect. All right. All right, first fight on the prelim card. Do you have anything to say before we get into prelims?
No, let's get through them. Yeah.
All right, first fight on the prelims. Tatsuro Taira taking on Carlos Candelario. Candelario at 8-1. Tatsuro Taira at 10-0. Taira is the favorite here.
I can't even find where I put it, dude. This is why producer Jake always puts him in chronological order. I didn't do that. God damn it. I ordered a desk. Sorry, comment from Chris. I ordered a desk on Wayfair 8 years ago. My Cambodia kid starts second grade this week. Fantastic.
Allegedly.
Dale, I wrote these odds in. I just cannot see them.
I believe Tatsu's somewhere around like a minus. Gosh, he can't be a 260. He can't be. It's somewhere there. It's somewhere near there, though. He's in the minus 200.
Ah, there it is. Boom.
Minus 250. Over on rounds 2.5. Candelario coming back at a plus 195. Do you have anything that you want to contribute to this at all?
I actually like Carlos's style. He fires in quick combos, and when he fires in quick combos, he actually shoots for a takedown. So that's kind of that like level change thing I like. Okay. I'm gonna go with Carlos by decision here because I think Tatsuro, dude, who and what and how. He has not fought anyone regional scene of like, dude, a promotion I've never even fucking heard of, like jungle fight status.
I love this jungle fight thing. Everybody knows about jungle fights, and Tatsuro fought in Shudo. He's a
shootout. Yeah. Is that with swords? I don't even know what that is.
No, dude. I never even heard
of that.
All right, bro.
I'm taking Carlos by decision. I like his style.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm inclined to take Tyra, mostly because he fights. He has fights and fights out of Naha, which is in Okinawa, Japan. And did I ever tell you about the time I got kicked asleep by a Japanese guy in Naha?
No.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah. Here's a good one. I got kicked asleep by a Japanese guy in Naha, Okinawa, Japan before.
What did you say to? Did you say something not cool to this individual?
No, we were sparring, and I thought I was. I did the classic go too hard, and
yep.
He Uriah hauled me. He put me to sleep. Kicked me to sleep. I've had a couple of concussions in my life. That was one of them.
That's cool. When you woke up, like, what happened?
I was in the locker room.
Your pants were down.
No, my pants were on.
That's good.
But yeah, they told me what happened. That's about it.
Nice.
I remember going to the gym that day. I remember jumping rope. I remember shaking out. I remember sparring, like starting to spar. And then
went out.
Yeah. Apparently we were getting into it a little bit. I started going too hard. I hit him with something and kind of, ran my mouth a little bit, and then he kicked me asleep.
It's good. Always run your mouth. Smart.
Always. 100%. Especially as a new guy in a gym, you always want to talk as much trash as possible. It's just for like prison. If you guys have never been to prison, or if you've never been to a gym with professional fighters before, one thing I highly suggest is picking the toughest or most professional person there and going 110 miles an hour at them.
I've always wanted to know that, actually, because if I go to jail, like, I'm absolutely going to die. So the question is, do I want to gain respect and fight the gnarliest person right off the rip?
No, you don't. So I will say that's one of the two biggest misconceptions are they get in the fight right away and rape. Do people get raped in prison? Yes. Yes, they do. But is it like this, like, rape fest? No, it is not a rape fest. And you don't depend. It also depends largely on where you go. But having worked county, state, and federal, I can assure you that most of the sex that happens in prison is rather consensual. A lot of dudes just lonely,
right?
A lot of lonely dudes. Not rapey. There's some rapies, and there's some dudes that get turned out and they think they're women. But a lot less rape than you would think.
But I don't have to fight the head honcho like right.
No. More often than not, that's not the case. Now, again, I'm speaking sheerly on a U.S. prison scale. I don't know what it's like if you go to prison in
Seychelles
or Panama. I would not suggest going to prison in Bolivia. I feel like things will get very rapey, very stabby in a hurry.
Yeah. I'm staying away from the stabby. I feel like, and this is not like a gay comment here, but I feel like I would keister as much as possible. You know what I mean?
You're going to shove as much stuff up your butt as possible?
Yeah, like in preparation for going into jail.
100% I'm going to see it right away.
Up my butt? How are you going to do that?
You would be surprised that when you've got something in your butt, how noticeable it is.
What?
Dude, I've seen cell phones in buttholes before.
And it's the way they walk into the jail that makes
it. It's not even the way they walk in. It's literally, so there's a whole procedure, if you do a strip search correctly, that gets that thing moving towards the surface, that you just cannot hold an iPhone in you.
You tickle their bellies?
No, you don't. Yeah, you just tickle them. All right, here comes the tickle part. No, I mean, so it's literally this whole thing. So you can have them do 1, 2, 3. I always have people do 3 deep squats. Strip, and I need 3 deep squats. I need you to turn around, bend over at the waist, spread your cheeks, and cough forcefully. If you don't, we're going to do it all over again.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, 3 deep squats, a turn, bend, and cough, bro, it all comes out.
iPhone 10 Plus is coming out.
Huh? iPhone 10 Plus, the flip phone, the Motorola two-way pager, dude, just balloons. I mean, it's all of it. It's all there, man. All wow. Of it. Yeah.
You learn something every day.
Yeah.
Learned a lot this episode.
100%. 100%. There was a guy, a prison I worked at, South Carolina, the first time I lived here, had a radio. Not like a bump box, but like...
No, like a Sam from the movie Sandlot, like a legit radio.
No, not like a radio, but like... So inmates here, at least on most prisons, they all have TVs like in the common areas or the rock, yeah. Depending on what you call it. But they don't have the volume on. You have to buy a radio, and the audio for the TV is on a radio station, right? Like 98.3 right. Or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like a square radio. It's like the size of the top of the mic here.
Yeah.
Right. This guy had the radio and headphones in his butthole because he was going to lockup, and you can't have your radio in lockup. He literally had the radio and so radios, headphones, cell phones, all that stuff, bro. All of it. It's all there.
That's insane.
It's all there.
I mean, that's athletic.
Yeah.
You know?
What? And that's just dudes. I can't even imagine. Like, I mean, obviously as a male, like I've never strip searched a female, but I mean, they've got two purses they can hide stuff in.
Man.
And yeah, man. I mean, from what I understand, one of those purses is stretchier and capable of carrying quite a bit of cargo.
It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a story. I can't validate it. Right. I can't validate it, but there was a story that, I think it was like in the mid 80s, there was a nurse, South Carolina Department of Corrections. Nurses, by and large, end up either, if you get married to a woman that wants to be a nurse in a prison, you should probably rethink your marriage. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there. It's bad news bears. Basically, they're just seeing dicks all day. Every inmate jacking off and saying stuff and being just disgusting and everything. In my mind, I don't see why a woman would want to have that around her all the time.
Right.
Not to mention the fact she's putting herself in harm's way. Anyway, most nurses that I saw in my career, 10 plus years, didn't last very long. They ended up either getting assaulted and quitting or being tired of being verbally harassed or banging an inmate and getting fired. This chick, allegedly, if I remember the story correctly, was banging an inmate and wanted to help him escape. So she smuggled a snub-nosed 38 inside of her vagine. Prison.
What is that?
A snub-nosed 38 pistol?
Yeah. It's a pistol. Like, it's a gun.
It's a pistol. It's a snub nose, so it doesn't have like the long barrel. It's got a short nose, stub nose.
Yeah.
And it's a revolver. So it's not a gun with a magazine. It's a revolver. And she took that and put it inside of her vagina and brought it in and then gave it to the inmate so he could try to escape.
No way.
Yeah, dude.
Like loaded?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah, of course.
It's so gnarly.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Man, that's like toughness on a whole nother level.
Well, dude, your wife had kids, right?
Yeah.
She literally fired a kid out of that bad boy.
I know. When I talk about like pain, like I'm in pain, like I drank too many Cutwaters, I have to revert back to that and just be like, I'm such a pussy.
Bro, you know what I mean? Have you ever just rifled out a turd that made you go, like, I've had some heavy Chevys fall out of me. Like, golly. And then I think my wife gave birth to 3 8-pound babies. And I'm like, you're so much tougher than me.
Man, women are great. They're so gnarly.
100%. You want to talk about the women's fight that we got next?
Yes. Perfect.
It's a great transition, right? Dude, bro, I brought it up. I told the whole prison story just so I could talk about vagina and get us to Gina Mazzani. Taking on Shauna Young here. Shauna Young at 7-4, Gina Mazzani at 7-5. Those are real records of real fighters signed to the UFC. Mazzani is a minus 180 against Shauna Young here at plus 150, overrunner in rounds at 2.5. Women's science has been wildly unreliable the last two events. Do we want to try to take a flyer here on Young?
This is such a dumpster fire fight. This is the worst fight ever.
No. Barry, Mike Jackson was worse.
Bro, this is so bad.
It's pretty bad.
Gina Mazzani, outside of her red hair, that's the only thing she does well. Yes, dude, she's in Glory that. MMA. I feel like you think that while I'm like one track minded as it relates to Team Alpha Male, my second tier camp is Glory MMA, which is not the case.
It is.
It's not the case because I love James Krause, but I don't love him as like a Uriah Faber. Like, I think he's great as a coach. I think he's a bullshit fighter.
Okay. Well, Faber doesn't even coach, does he? He's got like, I think he just hangs out with like Song Yadong. That's it. I always see Danny Castillo and some other no-name cats. I never see Faber walking out unless it's like Song Yadong. That's it.
No, because he was also coaching, my God, why am I blanking on his name? The Russian dude that's Slava Claus.
Okay.
Slava Claus, he's over in the corner. Needless to say, like, Gina Glory MMA loves to wrestle, lay on top. She doesn't have hands. She doesn't have subs. Can be the physically stronger person if, in fact, she like walks in and she is like anatomically more like built. Shanna should have the better hands. She has atrocious takedown defense. And when she's taken down, she has no getup game whatsoever. Ooh. I'm worried for Gina's cardio because her cardio is not good. Mm-hmm. So I have to look at this as like, man, I'm going to take the chick with red hair that doesn't have good cardio, but I think she has ever so slightly better wrestling, doesn't have the better hands, but I think this thing has to somewhat end up in clinch or maybe in like a weird side control, being the most boring fight ever, going over 2.5 and getting Gina the money line win. That's what I think.
Sarah Alpar subbed Shanna Young.
So bad.
That's bad. There's not a lot of fighters that we've been more critical of than Sarah Alpar, and she subbed Shanna Young.
So bad.
Also has losses to Miranda Maverick, lost to Macy Chason, and then lost to Stephanie Egger. Stephanie Egger's pretty good, and Macy Chason, or Chasson, sorry. I still want to pronounce her name correctly, but it's Chasson, whatever. Yeah, she got lost. I mean, those two women, obviously different frame, different strength. I agree with your assessment. This will be a who is physically stronger and has better cardio type fight. I will say that people need to be aware that Glory MMA is your great value team alpha male, and that you have a thing with chicks with dyed hair, and Gina Mazzani has dyed hair. So there is a little bit of a skewed perspective here.
Yeah.
-180 Gina Mazzani. I'm not sure of when you'd ever see Gina Mazzani at a -180. This fight seems like it's going to be a fight where that makes sense. I don't think there's a person on the roster currently that you could put Miss Young up against where she wouldn't be an underdog.
Right.
I don't think there's a person on the roster that you could have her favorite against, or even as a pick 'em. No. I think she's probably, statistically and skill wise, and I mean this just with the most respect possible because you're a professional fighter and I appreciate what you do, probably one of the least talented people on the roster currently.
Right.
Now, I hope she comes out there and proves everybody wrong. I would love for her to upset Gina Mazzani. I'd love it. Dude, if she came out and pulled some Yair Rodriguez, like thigh tap, spinning kick, and just sent Mazzani's head to the third row of the apex, nobody'd be happier than me. And that's not because I dislike Gina. I just want to see somebody that people write off do well. So I have no play here. I won't trust women's science. I don't think Shanna Young wins this fight, but I also can't do -180 juice on Gina Mazzani either, because Gina, she got a lot of quit in her. A lot of quit.
I'm hoping she comes in with creativity. The dyed hair, it's one of two things. If you have dyed hair, you're either creative and an artist, or you're Antifa. You know what I mean?
I don't think she's Antifa. Okay,
so she should be able to get this done.
She doesn't strike me as an Antifa type.
Okay, well then we're fine. Then we're in a good spot.
Doesn't strike me. Should we take any sort of consideration to Shanna Young's nickname being the Shanimal?
That is pretty good, because it's good.
It's a good nickname. It's a good nickname.
That's good.
It's not a Richie Lang, the Mongolian murderer. Good.
No, but it's making fun. It's like Andre Touchy Feely. Like it's funny. Shanimal. The Shanimal.
It's good.
Damn it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Something to consider.
Next fight.
Next fight.
I refuse to bet on Shauna Young, dude.
All right. Mike Breeden. We've said her name wrong or different every time we've said it. Every time we've said it, it's been different. I said it differently. When I said her name twice in the same sentence and said it different both times.
You said Shayna, Shanna, Shauna.
Shauna, yeah.
Yeah.
Shania, yeah. Mike Breeden at 10-4, taking on Natan Levy. Levy at 6-1. Levy obviously has a really creative style, man. Heavy on the kicks, heavy on the speed, darting in and out. Mike Breeden's going to want no part of that. He's a plus 160. Coming back here at Natan Levy. Minus 195 over on rounds 2.5.
Dude, we'll here we here. Go. Right into another Glory MMA fighter, dude, Mike Breeden. He's a guy that wing shots, absolutely psycho, ditches the game plan. There's going to be a lot of mistakes in this fight, a lot of mistakes. So I think I like inside the distance more than anything in this fight because Natan, he's a good prospect. He's solid everywhere. I don't think he's ever going to be a title challenger by any means, but like you said, he's got great leg kinks. Both these guys throw with ill intent. I'm inside the distance on this all day long.
That is at plus 110 currently.
That is solid. I love it.
You want to take that plus money?
I love it. I love it.
Okay. All right. Johan Lianese. Lianese? I think it's Johan Lianese. Taking on Gabe Green. Gabe Green, 10-3. Lianese at 8-0. Minus 150 for Gabe Green. Johan coming back at plus 120. Is this Don't Mess With The Johan?
Bro, is that his nickname? Someone,
it should be.
Someone told me, that should totally be the nickname. Someone told me that Gabe Green had a heart attack 4 weeks ago.
What?
Swear to God. Had a heart attack. Man.
So, Johan's nickname is the White Lion. Oh, that's a missed opportunity.
Because what should it be?
Don't Mess With The Johan.
Johan, Don't Mess With The Johan Lianese.
No, it's Don't Mess With The Johan Lianese.
I feel like people always screw that up if it's supposed to be before or in the middle.
That's why you get an announcer who knows what the hell they're talking about.
I don't know, dude. Johan's super hittable. He puts everything into his shots. If he doesn't land, he gets clipped because his defense is not sound. Gabriel Green, like I said, I heard that he had a heart attack like fucking not 4 weeks ago, like 4 months ago.
There's no way he would get – how would he pass the medicals to fight if he just had a heart attack?
4 months ago, though.
That's four – bro, it's a heart attack. It's not a twisted ankle. They give you 180 days for cuts.
That's what I heard. I've heard that everywhere. I heard he had a heart attack.
Hold on. This is why we need producer Jake. Keep talking.
VO2 max is not, it must be really good. I don't even know what VO2 max is, but I know he's breathing because he didn't die because of the heart attack.
Hold on.
I don't know, dude.
Gabe Green heart attack brings up some corny looking doctor in. No. There's nothing.
Did he not have a heart attack?
I don't know. That's just heart attack doesn't. Gabe Green is a doctor in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Gabriel Green, dude. Gabriel. Or Gabriel, depending on how fancy you are.
Okay. Hold on.
Gabriel Green, heart attack, 4 months ago, minus 150. Justified, question mark?
No. There's nothing.
There's nothing?
There's nothing. There was a Mexican singer named Juan Gabriel that died of a heart attack back in 2016. Oh, real quick, while we're talking about Mexican singers, did you see that they added a new feature on the StreamYard thing?
No.
Background music.
Well, can we get Gabriel's song on there?
Hold on, let me see. There's one on here called you want to do acoustic cinematic dance pop daydreaming.
Dance pop. Dance pop. That's not even a question.
Let's see if it. Can you hear it?
Yeah. Can you?
Yeah. I just want.
Sick.
I just wonder, like, if we. Ooh, I tried to.
Yeah.
Try to focus, and the music's just kind of taking over here.
Right.
All right. So, we taking Gabe Green here?
I think we have to.
I think you have to, right?
Yeah.
We'll just start. It's picking up a little bit.
Just like, do we take it money line?
I think so. I think minus 150 will work.
All right.
I'm going to bring it down a little bit. Bring down the fade a little bit.
Okay.
But then you can kind of turn it up.
Why don't you turn it up for the next fight? What's the next fight? I like it. I like it.
It's pretty cool, right?
It's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool. I don't love it.
Well, no, I mean, this is like the part in the dance party where I'd be scoping out to see, like, you know, I was about to say who's my next victim, but that sounds weird. You know what I mean?
Victim, like, victim's perfect here. Alexander Romanov, 15 and that, taking on Chase Sherman at 15 and 9.
Right, right.
Which I feel like there's night driving. I think that's a night driving breakdown. Chase Sherman, Alexander Romanov, the biggest favorite in UFC history for this fight against Chase Sherman, minus 2,300.
Okay, I don't even have those odds.
It doesn't matter. Listen to me, it doesn't matter. Minus 1,200 last week was a bargain compared to the minus 2,300 you're getting on Alexander Romanov right now. This fight is unplayable unless you think that somehow the St. Michael the Archangel is going to come down and strike down Alexander Romanov. There's just no way.
Do you think we could get Romanov at by sub KO in round one at anything in plus money? Probably not.
Let's see what we got here.
Or at least get it to like the minus 200 as a parlay piece.
Let's see here. I've only got a couple. Even Romanov inside the distance is at minus 600.
Insanity.
Now,
I mean, not insanity, because it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got under 1.5 rounds is at minus 275.
Minus 2,600 money line for Alexander Romanov. What is money line straight Chase Sherman? What are we getting? Do
plus 1,100.
Do we sprinkle?
Plus 1,100? No, I wouldn't.
No, okay. We're not going to do
that.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
All right. All right.
I wouldn't.
All right.
Yeah, all I right. wouldn't do that.
All right. Yeah.
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 I like it.
Yeah.
Daniel Da Silva taking on Francisco Figueiredo, as you called him.
Yeah.
Francisco at 12-4. Da Silva at 11-2. Trey, I just got to tell you.
Yeah.
When I think about Francisco Figueiredo.
Speak, dude. Speak. Preach.
I just feel like people give him a lot of credit because of who his brother is.
Oh, you call him Figgy?
And they call him Little Figgy Jr. They call him Little Fig Newton.
Oh, dude.
And they just...
Delicious.
They don't realize that he's not nearly as good as his brother.
Right, right,
but it's
right.
One of those things when you got a guy like Daniel Da Silva.
Yeah.
You got to pay attention to what's happening.
Right.
Because if you don't, you might end up in a firefight.
Ooh.
When you ain't no firefighter. Because Daniel Da Silva was born in that heat. He wants it hot. Figueredo's a dry ass cookie and he might get burnt. Fig Newton style. You feel me?
Oh, dude. How does a dry cookie caught on fire? I don't understand. But it sounds bad. Like we take Silva by murder here.
I don't think that's the case. I mean, we can.
No, we have to, dude. We played Francisco Figueiredo against Malcolm Gordon. We took him straight up, and it was a murder fest, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. Daniel Da Silva, which, by the way, it's not D.E. Silva, it's Da Silva, boy.
It's Da Silva, boy.
Yeah, Da Silva, boy, dude, by murder, for sure. I think it's by murder. I think it's by money. I just straight decision, but yeah.
If he goes to decision, it'll be his only decision of his career. All 11 wins that he has come inside the distance. And Silva inside the distance currently is at plus 250. So I would venture a guess to just say, if you're on Silva, Da Silva, just take him plus 250.
That's good.
There's no point in playing him at the minus money when all 11 of his wins have come inside the distance. If you're on him, just take him to win inside the distance.
There's
just boom.
All right. I
plus 250. We should be done with the music, right? You don't want to do music anymore.
Last one, dude. What's the last fight of the night? Put on something like upbeat, dude.
Okay. All right. So the last fight, Gerard Meerschaert taking on Christoph Jatko. Jatko at 23-5. Gerard Meerschaert at 34-14.
Yeah.
We've got, you know what? Gerard Meerschaert plays saxophone.
Does he? Sexy sax man.
Do you think that there's anything on here? We've got, let me read them all first. And you tell me which
Please
one.
Please tell me there's Careless Whisper.
Hold on. There's one just called Rock. Then there's Lo-Fi, Into Space, Feeding the Ducks, and Daydreaming. Which one do you think is more likely to have saxophone?
Feeding the Ducks.
Feeding the Ducks? Yeah. all right, let's go Feeding the Ducks.
All right.
This is kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't think that's it. That's not the call. Is feeding ducks like tranquil nowadays? Like it's like a calming exercise?
I think it's supposed to be, yeah. Even though ducks are chaotic. Have you ever like fed a duck? Have you ever seen a duck eat? They are chaotic, bro. They're like, like shit flying out of their mouth. They are a mess.
No, I mean, that's, you gotta get a peaceful loaf of bread, which is expensive. Like, apparently, it's a hassle.
Well, dude, you feed ducks real bread? I feed them the moldiest stuff I got.
Well, no, you can't get mold. They'll die.
No, 100%. No, they won't. They're ducks. They literally eat the shit on bottom of ponds. They are, no, moldy bread, stale bread.
So like the heels of the bread that your family doesn't eat, you bring that down to the pond.
100%.
I'm kind of fucked up.
Feeding the ducks into space. What about Into Space, you think?
I like this. It kind of gives me that like Carly Rae Jepsen kind of vibe, you know, like where it's about to go into a white chick
call
moment.
Call me. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Call me.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or what was that one song in the 90s with the girl with the piano and then it was like, da-na-na-na-na-na.
First of all, it's just not that girl. You're talking about Vanessa Carlton. You put some respect on her name. Okay.
It's a fantastic song, dude.
Don't you ever. Yes. Just act like you don't know who Vanessa Carlton is.
That was a great song. Oh, song of a generation.
100%. That's a banger. And every time it comes on, there's not a single person that doesn't like that song.
No, it's a great song.
It's a
great song.
It's a fantastic song. All right.
Yeah, I blanked.
Meerschaert plus 140, Jatko at minus 170 here. What do you think?
Oh, dude. He's the over 2.5 king. If you're going to play Meerschaert, play him in the later rounds.
Meerschaert's by the sub early.
No way.
Jatko is by decision. Meerschaert is early.
I feel like Meerschaert has to wear a fighter down to lose their cardio and then make them a little bit more vulnerable. Jatko is someone that is very meat and potatoes through and through the fight, plays to the level of the fighter, and gets it done because he checks all the boxes. Meerschaert, dry bodies, tight submissions. I love that. I see it later rounds.
No, nah, man. How?
But I'm not taking Meerschaert. How are they,
how are they dry bodies, not tight submissions in the later rounds? The longer the fight goes, the slipperier the body gets.
I'm not. I've said that. I said I would love tight bodies, dry submissions. Tight bodies. Tight bodies. Dude.
Right. You keep saying tight bodies.
All Speaking these guys of tight, have bodies. Tight bodies. Below my waist is getting very tight right now, dude.
Oh, bro. All the blood rushing down.
She's homebound. She's a lyricist, is what she is.
Oh, she's a songbird.
Of the generation.
Yeah. Ooh. So good, bro. Such range. You can feel it.
Yeah, that got a Grammy for sure.
100% had to have gotten a Grammy. 100%. 100%. 100%. Hold on a second. Did Vanessa Carlton win a Grammy for that? Where's producer Jake at?
I know. God, dude.
Oh. All right. Hold on. I got to find out.
She had to have. Yeah.
Did she? She has to. Has to.
Yeah.
She's received 4 awards. Hold on. We got to let's see what. Hold on. She was nominated. All right. Let's see.
If she did not win it that year, I want to know who won it because I'm going to go steal it from their house.
She was nominated for record and song of the year that year, but did not win it.
Who won?
Hold on. I'll tell you.
I'm telling you, dude, if it's someone that's going to piss me off, this is not the week to piss me off.
It's not the week, huh?
Not the week.
No.
No. No, I won't do it. I won't do it.
Dude, she even performed it there and didn't win.
And she still didn't get the nod.
Still didn't win, no. Hold on.
If it's a Bieber thing, I'm going to lose it, dude. I will lose it.
Let's see here. It was... What song or what category did I say? Record of the year, right?
I'm telling you, if it was Smash Mouth, I will smash a hole in my fucking wall.
I'll send it back. I will send it back.
I will send it back.
I didn't realize how many Grammys they gave out for things.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I appreciate everybody that still sticks around for this portion of the show because this we're done talking about fights now. So if you are still here,
then clearly you care about music.
Yep. Absolutely. We need check the chat while I'm doing this because I cannot see that while I've got a different tab up. Maybe somebody found it faster than I did.
I just want to know who she lost to. If she lost to, was it pop? Is that the category she's in? She's just pop, right?
Well, no, it was like best record, like record of the year, and then there was something like vocal performance and arrangement of the year.
And what year is this? Are we talking
2003?
2003. What happened in 2003 is the question.
Yeah. Okay. Best instrumental arrangement with accompanying vocalist. She lost to Dave Grusin for "Mean Old Man" performed by James Taylor. That's one that she lost.
Okay.
Yep.
What about the song? The song's the one that matters.
I'm working on it. They literally have given out 700 awards. Best pop collaboration with vocals, best pop performance by a duo, best female pop performers. She lost to Norah Jones.
That's fair. That's
Norah Jones is really good, man.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, I'm not mad at that. I was about to be really heated.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's she lost out on record of the year to Norah Jones. Don't know why.
Huh. Okay.
Can't be mad at that. Norah Jones is fantastic.
Huh.
Good year for women in pianos, right? 2003, Norah Jones, Vanessa Carlton.
Well, think about it. I was looking up what happened in 2003. Apple launched iTunes and sold 1 million songs during their first week. That happened in 2003.
Yeah. Yeah, so YouTube wasn't even out then.
Think about the amount of downloads she had on that song in that first week.
Think about YouTube wasn't even out then. Imagine if YouTube was out then.
Insane.
Billions of views. She would have been the Gangnam Style. She'd have been the first billion viewer.
Dude, a lot happened in 2003. Michael Jordan, that was the year he retired.
Again. Yeah.
That was insane.
He sucked with the Wizards. Ugh. Ball is life, bro.
Ball is life. Need you.
Hmm.
I miss you.
Ooh. Bro, how do you fall into the sky? How does that even happen?
Well, time will pass you by if you don't. Yeah.
But you know, I'd walk 1,000 miles just to see you tonight. All right, guys, if you don't already do so, I honestly, maybe if you do and you haven't unfollowed us yet, might be a good time to consider that. We're everywhere at Punchlist MMA everywhere. You can email us if that's your thing, chat at Punchlist MMA. Like the beginning of the show, Trey has chairs. They are in his hands now. Godspeed to you whenever he gets them in the mail. Yep. So he has your sizes. He has your addresses. Good luck to you. Thoughts and prayers. You'll get him when you get him. If not, feel free to hit him up on Instagram and let him know. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for supporting. We're going to go perfect. We're going perfect this weekend, right? Isn't that what we planned?
This is the easiest card on the planet, dude.
We're going perfect.
100%.
100% this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going 100% this weekend, or every, or if we don't, Strictly MMA podcast will give everybody who follows us and doesn't win, they'll give them $1. So,
ooh, love it.
Yeah.
Love it. So
if you want to collect your money, which you won't need to, cause we're going to go perfect. But in the event that something weird happens, like Chris Tognoni messes up a fight, go to Strictly MMA talk show or Strictly MMA podcast and request your $1 from them. They will gladly pay you.
Yeah. Those dudes dress well. They're loaded.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
For sure.
They have tons of money. All right.
Yeah.
Be good to each other, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bang, bang.